Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of Pneumatikos. I'm your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's episode is entitled The Power of the Gospel Defeats the Futile Humanist Manifesto. I'm going to be reading from Romans chapter 1, Paul's letter to the Romans. Chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is present indicative. The term indicative means statement of fact. And notice what Paul writes. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, or to the Gentile. I'm also going to read verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, verse 17, Paul quotes from Habakkuk 2:6. The word righteousness in verse 17 is dikaiosune in the Greek. And in this particular passage, one will find that dikaiosune controls the thought of the entire letter. That is the righteousness of God, the righteousness that is out from God as a source through Christ Jesus. Those who come, to a saving knowledge of Christ Jesus are imputed, that is, the righteousness of God is reckoned to their account. Now, it is important to realize that also in the Gospels, the Lord Jesus spoke of the righteousness of the Pharisee. And it was a righteousness defined by the Pharisees that they imputed to themselves of their own accord. It was a righteousness out from man to man. It was therefore not considered the position of man before God. Paul was a former Pharisee, well trained, perhaps one of the greatest minds in all of history, a scholar in the Old Testament and the Talmud, who was trained by Rabbi Gamaliel, and the other prominent rabbi of that day was Rabbi Hillel. But Paul was tutored or trained by Rabbi Gamaliel, very wise, up to Rabbi. Paul is now on the other side of that life, which now, according to his his writing, to the Church of Philippi, the letter to the Philippians, Paul says, now I count those former things of the past as but dung, that I might gain Christ, that I might gain Christ. Paul understood the emptiness of humanism, because the foundation of humanism is man's perception of himself. It is built upon human hubris or pride. Proverbs 16:18, Gaon, that is, pride goeth before destruction. Because Hebrew is a concrete language, he means Gaon from the root, the word that is transliterated pride from the root, which that root means to swell. Pride goes before, or pride faces destruction or ruin. And a haughty spirit, the foundation of the humanist manifesto or humanism, is pride. And this pridefulness, excuse me, that goes and that controls the ethos of the human viewpoint, radically and virulently opposed to the revelation of God, is what we're speaking about at this time. Now, to be in radical opposition to the revealed will of God, Jesus said that, look, of the Pharisees who rejected the counsel of God against them. And today we equally have those who have rejected the counsel of God. Some, in a very childish manner, as referred, as we have talked about, in this day, how God hates individuals, and therefore they must be saved. It is a very tragic reading. If these persons have read the scripture at all, which I highly doubt, but it is a very tragic interpretation. In John 3:16, it is stated, for God so loved the world, the cosmos, that he gave the token, the gift, his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, to believe at a point in time and to keep on believing in him, that is growing up in him, should not perish but have eternal life. For God, Psalm 3:17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, the cosmos through him, through the instrumentality of Jesus, might be saved or rescued out from ruin. Now, to have a very subjective understanding of one's plight, coupled with a radical rejection of the counsel of God, in, we see the results today of where our culture has gone. The rendered vessel remains, but the content of Western culture is gone. It has vanished. It has evaporated. What is left is form without content. You and I see the epic violence that occurs within this country and around the world. You and I see what's happening economically around the world, or more realistically, what we are told about what is going on in the economies around the world. But we are allowed to know. So, here in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul states, I am not ashamed of the gospel. And the word gospel, of course, means good news. Good news. Paul uses the word euangelion. Euangelion of Christ. And so he goes on after the colon to state that this gospel, this euangelion, is the power of God. It is the dunamis. The word dunamis refers to ability or might. It is the power of God. It is the power of God. Eston ice, after the word theon, or the Greek word for God, eston ice. Is the power of God unto life, or towards salvation, to everyone that believes. To the Jew first, hence in the Gospel of Matthew we have the genealogy of Joseph. And in the book of Luke, we have the genealogy of Miriam. Because of a very heinous act in the family tree of Joseph, Jesus could not inherit the throne as king in that family line. But because Joseph and Miriam were of the same family, but to a different imagery through Helen. That is, through his mother's genealogy, Jesus is enabled to inherit the throne as king. This is all the power of God. This is all the doing of God. This is all the marvelous activity of God. Caniah fell. And his line was cursed. Joseph was in that family line. God always knows what he is doing. God always knows how he is going to accomplish his will. These things are all foreknown of God. They are, of course, played out. God's will is played out in the arena of history. Gospel began in Genesis chapter 3. We see the symbolic act of the shedding of the blood of animals. We note that a covering was made for the Adam, or for Ish and Isha, through the animal skin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There is no forgiveness of sin. Ish and Isha had, or Adam, the Adam and his wife, had made aprons. It is a picture of humanism, attempting to meet the problem that is beyond their understanding that as to magnitude and depth. Because what had happened in Genesis 3 disobedience to the known and explicit will of God resulted in real death. Adam was told, dying, thou shalt die. Dying, thou shalt die. The Adam is the federal head of the race, of the human race. And I'm using that term race in a very specific manner, not the way it is used today as a pseudo-anthropological term to refer to the race. There's no such thing as racism. At least according to the scripture. Now, this gospel, this good news, we see it beginning in Genesis chapter 3. God made provision for the Adam and his wife. The sacrificial system of ancient Israel pointed to the sacrifice of Christ. But he died 33 AD on the Roman gibbet. He said, Tetelestai, that is, it is finished. Salvation is available. So Jesus died at a point in time. Jesus was buried at a point in time. But then, in his great message in the book of Acts, Peter said something extraordinary about the resurrection. In his great sermon on the day of Pentecost, Peter declared this in Acts chapter 2, verse 24, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pain of death. And it's a reference to Psalm 18:4. Because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, Psalm 109, verse 31, that I should not be moved. That is, to waver or agitate, or to shake like an earthquake. See, here is the stability of the soul that David experienced. Here is the stability of soul that you and I experience because of the risen Christ. Because we know that what God has accomplished for us in Christ is that we should not be moved. Therefore, verse 26, did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in Hades, not through hell. Where hell is not found. Neither wilt thou allow thine holy one to see corruption or decay. The foundation of our salvation is the fact that God raised up Jesus from the grave. That God, through Christ, has given us life. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He has taken away, in according to Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, the sting of death. So therefore,
for believers who die are said to sleep in Jesus. To sleep in Jesus. Believers sleep. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. This is part of the glorious hope that we have because of what God has done for us. It is research has shown that believers, it is those who know God, have greater longevity, they have more robust and better physical health. They have the foundation of God in their soul, so therefore they can waver the trial and challenges and the necessary sufferings in life with hope. Hope, according to the scripture, means confident expectation toward future. The gospel provides that hope for us through Christ Jesus. Once again, Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The attempt by the Adam and his wife to make aprons for themselves to hide their nakedness was not satisfactory. It did not meet the requirement of what was they from themselves could not produce what they need after they had trespassed, which means sourced up a boundary, the will of God. They experienced a real change in themselves. In Romans chapter 3, Paul writes in verse 23, for all have then come short of the glory of God. And the verb come short means to be left behind in the race, and so therefore fail to reach the goal. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth as a propitiation. The word propitiation means satisfaction. He is the propitiation. The Adam and his wife could not provide propitiation for themselves in their own efforts. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness or proof, declare means proof or demonstration of his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. So in this context, the word remission is the word paresis. Paresis, P-A-R-E-S-I-S, it means letting pass. Meaning it opens in the future either to entirely remit or else adequately take care of a situation. So, for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. I love the language. Through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness just and the justifier of him which believeth in. Romans 4:3, for what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, in the Hebrew text, the word believe is aman, A-M-A, which we get our word, amen, which is dead. Aman means to be firm. The word picture is that of the instinct of being driven into the ground as a support for a tent made of animal skin. And the semi-nomadic people of Abraham, they lived in this manner. So tent state has to be earned. You know, it helps support the wages of the Aman, Abraham, Aman, God. It is a word, pictured word, ruminating over. The salvation of God is something not to be trampled underfoot. Right into the Hebrew, talks about how God trampled on the blood of the Son of God. It is imperative, and that this so great salvation is God's gift to this age, this ion, that seems bent on trying to live out a humanist manifesto that is no longer there. The veil is there, the shadow is there, the form is there, but the content of Western culture is gone. But there is a way, there is a salvation message, there is hope. Gospel, there is hope in the word of God. God has come to give us life through Christ. My name is Dr. Cy Rich. Have a wonderful day.